And his grace has been given to us. His self-giving grace has been poured out abroad because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Not only his presence, but his grace is with us. So guaranteed encounter is possible. There's no secret formula to this. We looked at a couple last week, the gospel and the Bible. Today we're looking at two more, spiritual disciplines and spiritual gifts. We could spend a whole series on either of these. We only have a few minutes together. In fact, I'm going to preach a whole series on spiritual gifts in the fall, so I'm looking forward to that. Because we say in a few minutes, we say the creed, we say, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, and I believe in God the Holy Spirit. So it's worth looking at who this Spirit is. I love that Jesus practiced these spiritual disciplines, not as some kind of a trying to be holier than thou, although quite frankly, he was and is. He practiced spiritual disciplines because he knew he wanted to have those places of encounter with God. He wanted to have those encounters. He wanted to grow because he had emptied himself, and so he wanted to be in a relationship with his Father. And so practicing these spiritual disciplines was essential. Dallas Willard, who is an authoritarian on a number of matters to do with Christian theology and discipleship, has written, the number of times that Christian is named in the Bible. Can you think of the number of times the word Christian actually shows up in the Bible? It's twice. Twice. The number of times disciple, the word disciple, shows up in the Bible. 256. Dallas Willard's observation is interesting. He says, you can be a Christian all your life and not be a disciple. Uh-oh. Jesus' great commission, of course, is to all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say go and make Christians. He said go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and we did that last week, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And lo, I will be with you always to the end of time. So spiritual disciplines are ancient practices that anybody can practice because we all practice habits. We all have habits. Some are good habits and some are not so good habits. We can practice some spiritual habits, holy habits, if you will, that will help us with our encounters with God. Because God has never left us. He's right here with us. Do you know that Bible verse, Psalm 46, verse 10? Be still and know that I am God. Oh, you know, our part is to be still. His part is to be present. So he's present. We just need to be still. There is a cooperative relationship in holy habits. And as Jesus practices spiritual disciplines, so can we. So I need, in order to help us, it's summer, we're having a good time here worshiping together. I need nine volunteers to help me with this because it'll be much more visual. So could I have nine people to help me up here? And I promise you, nothing embarrassing, simply the joy you will have in participating as people who are learning about discipleship. Thank you very much. What's your first name?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, we've got Jennifer, we've got Lonnie. Come on, men, come on, men. There are not some men here. I see some men here who are going to practice some spiritual disciplines. Just line up behind me. I need not. Thank you very much. We're doing great so far. Okay. To grow in these holy habits, stand and kind of, you know, this is good. Oh, June, nice to have you here. So we've got 10. Oh, we'll find room for all of you. We've got 9? Okay, good. All right. So one of the practices, I mentioned it already, be still and know that I am God. So what would you call that? The practice of silence or solitude? Silence? Silence. So some people are participating in the centering prayer or whatever word you call it, where you're quiet. There are people who gather here on a Wednesday, the people who gather Tuesday night or Friday morning. They're really trying to learn about practicing silence. Not a lot of words. So I don't know, what's a way we could perhaps just with your palms up. Would that be okay? No, just June. You'll get yours in a minute, Ron. So just with your palms up, kind of a sense of wanting to listen and have silence before God. Isn't that lovely? And then there's the art of confession. I don't know whether Ron needs to or not, but it would be confession. It might be, I don't know, putting your hand near your temple, your hands near, and an attitude of confession. I'm not sure whether Jesus confessed to God, but I know he taught confession to his disciples. Confession. In other words, telling the truth about yourself and knowing that it's okay if you've got faults. We make mistakes here at Christ Church. I'm sorry for the couple little glitches to start off the service. You know what? It doesn't matter if you're not perfect. We're not perfect here. It's not about perfection. Yeah, you're good. You're good. Yeah. You're okay? You can. Okay, good. You're just confessing. Good. Michelle here is going to illustrate prayer. So perhaps you can put your hands together in prayer. Thank you. Prayer is a beautiful thing to practice, and Jesus' disciples. One of my most favorite prayers, you know the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art. Jesus had some other prayers. Listen to this, John 11:41. I remember this because that's when we were supposed to catch the GO train yesterday to go to the Blue Jays game, 11:41. But the 2:11 train wasn't working. But anyways, John 11:41-42. And Jesus says this, in a moment of grief, in a moment of terrible trauma, this is what Jesus said. Listen, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I'm saying this for the sake of the crowd who is here so that they will believe that you sent me. It's a beautiful prayer because it reminds us that God is always hearing us. He's always hearing Jesus. He's always hearing your prayers. It's beautiful. So praying is about being close to the Father. Oh, you're still confessing. Thank you, Ron. Oh, did you? You're praying. Great. All right. Reading the Word. Reading the Word. So just, here's your Bible. Okay. Reading the Word. And I don't know how you read the Bible at home, but Jesus had scriptures on his mind and on his heart. In fact, he knew the scriptures so well, he, of course, the Bible that Jesus read was the Old Testament. So he would have read Ezekiel. He would have read about the stubbornness of the hard-hearted Israelites. He would have known about that prophetic word. He knew the prophetic word about the year of the Lord's anointing because he had the Bible in his heart. Some of you have learned scripture verses. Did you know with the song this morning, I'm hoping that you might have learned the scripture verse, or at least a little bit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Even if you know that much of it, but the whole verse. The banner's there. Every week I get to look at it. You don't get to see it because you're facing the other way. But Warren did a great job. So having that word in your heart and practicing that as part of our spiritual disciplines will help us to grow. So thank you. And then Lonnie is here. And Lonnie's going to show us something about fasting. So perhaps your hand in your tummy about fasting. You're starving now? Okay. So this is a kind of intentional stopping to eat or stopping to some kind of a meal or stopping to do something that you might really, really enjoy. And you're saying the thing that you really, really enjoy is not going to have control over you. You're going to stop doing that because you want to hunger more for God than that thing, at least for a temporary period of time, fasting for God. The next one is solitude. And I have no idea how to display solitude, but if you would just... Okay, you can turn around. That's okay. Thank you, Nancy. Just don't crash into somebody. The next one is study. So perhaps it's something to do with your mind. Yeah, studying with your mind, loving God with your mind. And what's your first name?
Paige.
Paige, thank you, Paige. Well, studying with your mind. And the next one, there are two gentlemen at the end. This one is walking together in the Spirit. So it would be accountability. So you don't have to hold hands. But what I would like you to do is, would you just walk gently together? Just walking as if you're talking with one another. And just walking together. So each one of these is an activity. It's a thing you do, okay? It's a spiritual discipline, something you do. You build into the habit of your life. You build into the habit of, with June, of silence. Maybe it's just 5 minutes. Maybe it's joining the centering prayer group. I don't know. Maybe there needs to be time of confession. You know, we have general confession at church on Sunday. Maybe that's not doing it for you. Make an appointment with me or with David or Warren or someone else that you trust. It has to be a trusting person. Yeah, keep walking, guys. You're doing great. Walking together in the Spirit, which is what we're going to do when we're finished the service here. And then prayer, you know, is something you want to build into your life. You pray for your kids, right? You pray for your family. You pray for the community. We're going to do that. And you read the Bible, and we're fasting. We have solitude, and we're studying scriptures, thank you, and we walk together in the Spirit. Can you see yourself doing some of these things? Can you see yourself? It's not that difficult, really. It's just like brushing your teeth. I hope you brush your teeth, or your dentures, whatever you've got. Brush them. Make it a part of your life, a holy habit. Now, if you haven't got them all figured out, that's okay. We're not intended to be perfect. These are holy habits that take time. Jesus took 3 years with his disciples. I don't know how long you've been thinking of yourself as a disciple. Maybe you've never thought of yourself as a disciple. I hope that you will begin to think of yourself as a disciple. And disciple means a learner. Jesus taught spiritual disciplines to his disciples so that they could disciple others. I was discipled as a young man in some of these things. I've learned some of them along the way. And some of you are helping me learn how to keep these. So we're learning from each other. I think it's... How are you doing? This is great. You stopped walking, but that's okay. You can stop walking and still be in the Spirit together. Fantastic. Let's give them a hand, everybody, for their... They've done a great job. Evelyn Underhill, who was a 20th century spiritual writer of mysticism, wrote as a retreat leader, "We do not come for spiritual information, but for spiritual food and air and water. We come for spiritual food and air and water. We come because we are hungry for God, to wait on the Lord, to renew our strength, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the world." And here we come to the last one here, as Peter puts up the slide for spiritual gifts. Again, we could spend a whole session, and I will look forward to preaching on the spiritual gifts in the fall. And if the fruit of the Spirit, which we talked about, is love, joy, peace, patience, if those things are who we are as people, an attitude of joy, of peace, of love, of patience, that is who we are as people, that's the being me of me, that's the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are what God gives so that we can do something. They're the tools. We put on our tool belt, we get out our recipe book, and we do what God wants us to do in that moment. Paul lists at least 21 of these gifts. I'm not going to ask for 21 volunteers, although we might do something like that in the fall, who knows. In Romans, Ephesians, and Corinthians, Paul talks about the first century spiritual gifts, which are still active today. And the reason for these gifts? For building up the body of Christ. It's not to make, he's a healer, or he's a person, or she's a person who can speak in tongues, or she's a person who can give a word of wisdom. They're not about self-aggrandizing. They're about accomplishing something for somebody else. Spiritual gifts, something God gives you, perhaps for a short period of time, for somebody else. Am I making sense? Are you with me? So I will just say two things. First is, if you don't come to church, two things will happen. The first is, you'll miss being a blessing to somebody else. If you don't come to church, you'll miss being blessed yourself. I'd like you to turn to somebody near you. You don't have to touch them on the shoulder if you don't want to, but just say these words. I don't want to miss the blessing. I don't want to miss the blessing. I don't want to miss the blessing.
Pardon? Oh, yeah.
Jesus loves you whether you come to church or not. But if you want to grow as a disciple, if you want to build up the body of Christ, be here. Be in God's church. Be the people of God. Be that other family. Maybe this is your family. Maybe you don't have any other family. This is your family. We need each other to build up one another in the body of Christ, to be a blessing to each other. The alphabetical list of spiritual gifts that Paul gives: administration, apostleship, compassion, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, helping, or pastoring, interpretation of tongues, speaking in other angelic or human languages, knowledge, leadership, miracles, prophecy, servanthood, shepherding, teaching, speaking in tongues, wisdom. So look forward to how God will release his Spirit as we know more what the Bible says about these spiritual gifts for the building up of each other. Last thing I want to say, as a real normal example of something that happens supernaturally. A man was going to the grocery store. His wife had sent him to buy some cheese. I don't know what it was. He went to the grocery store. A guy named Graham Cook. Look up the story if you want to. Graham Cook. He shows up in the grocery store, and he has this sense that God's speaking to him. He would be called a person who's operating in the spirit of prophecy. Okay? He's just an ordinary guy, but he's walking along. He's in the grocery store. God's kind of getting a word of knowledge in his mind. And the word of knowledge is that there's a woman in the dairy section of the grocery store who is an atheist. She doesn't believe in God, but she was on her knees praying because her daughter had run away from home 3 years before, and she hadn't heard from her daughter in 3 years. And the message was, go and speak to this woman, tell her that God saw her praying last night, and that he has a message for her. Do you think that got her attention? So, how would anybody know that she was praying, right? She's an atheist. So Graham says, well, this is going to happen. Your daughter's been separated from you for 3 years. On Thursday, she's going to phone you. So without taking her eyes off Graham, she calls down the aisle to the next person in the next section of the dairy employee and says, can you swap shifts for me? I got to be home on Thursday. Thursday. She's got a cup of tea, and she's shaking by the phone. The phone rings. It's her daughter. Mom, I want to come home. You see, when Graham practiced, because he practices these spiritual disciplines, he operates in the work of the Spirit, the prophetic, the word of knowledge, however he did it. He had no idea who this person was. He did it for someone else. It wasn't in church. It was just this beautiful moment. We operate at a low grade sometimes. We operate at a high grade, like some of our administrative gifts, some of our hospitality gifts, some of our teaching gifts. But some of the other gifts, we could do better. We could be what God calls us to be in operating in the power of his Spirit. In order, in discipline, in building up the body of Christ. It's not for self-aggrandizing. It's not for filling the pews or filling the coffers. It's about being the body of Christ. I'm excited about the possibilities that God might lead us into that sense of rest and renewal and growth about who God is. Who God is. Be still and know. That I am God. Thanks be to God.